Hey, Mark.
Hey, Katie.
Hey, you want to do a podcast?
Yeah.
Sweet. Okay. Welcome to the Unforget Yourself show, where we use the power of woo and the proof of science to help you identify your blind spots, get over your own bullshit, so that you can do the fucking thing you actually want to do.
Absolutely. I'm Mark.
And I'm Katie.
And we're the founders of Unforget Yourself and the creators of the Unforget Yourself system. Look, being a business owner is tough.
Yeah.
With vulnerability and with humor, mm-hmm. we'll be sharing with you the real stories behind the success of those brave and crazy enough to start their own business. And to show you that you're not alone.
You're not. Well, from the accidental entrepreneur to the laser-focused CEO, we have honest conversations about how they got to where they are today. We talk about the challenges that they faced and what they're currently dealing with in real time on their roller coaster journey. Along the way, we want to show you that it's you. You are the most important asset in your business.
Yeah, you are. So let's cut the bullshit and start the show.
Enjoy.
Okay. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show. So today we have with us Chris Burns of Lux Level Media. So Chris has been in marketing for over 20 years, and he started his own agency in January of 2022 to provide strategies and service, web design, SEO, content creation, and digital advertising. And through a unique, simple, no BS, low-cost model that works for small businesses and for nonprofits. Hey, Chris, I know it's only a small introduction to what you do, but welcome to the show.
Mark, it's great to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
You're so, so welcome. So, hey, can you just expand a bit more on that and share, you know, where you are in your business today and the kind of people that you love to work with?
Yeah, so I love marketing, very passionate. It's one of the few things in life I'm passionate about. I've worked in the space for over 20 years now, though it doesn't feel like it because it's just fun. And I've always enjoyed helping businesses. And, you know, marketing for me dates back to when I was studying at high school and college. And really, marketing became really interesting when I started working for an agency. And that's when I realized maybe I didn't know about as much about marketing as I thought. Uh-huh. And I was able to kind of use what I was learning on my own businesses. That's when I became an entrepreneur. And now, more than ever, I've been working with a lot of small businesses and nonprofits. And what's so exciting about that for me is there are more nonprofits and small businesses than there are large Fortune 500s and large corporations. But those are the ones who need the most amount of guidance. They need the most amount of help. They've got questions. And a little bit of my time and my effort can make a very large impact. Where in a large organization, it may take them 6 months just to get on board with, do we need to hire someone or not hire someone? So I feel like I can make an impact not only in my own community, but in the lives of families who run these small businesses. And that's really what's exciting to me.
Is that with like the agile nature of the smaller businesses that they need the help, they want the help. And once they find the, whether it's a strategy or a different implementation, that they're able to move forward. Is that what you love about it?
Yeah. I mean, there's no doubt that some of them can be a little slow moving, but typically once they recognize that they need something, they are a little faster to act. And I would say that, you know, for the average small business, if they're making $1 million or $500,000, a 10% increase could mean a new car for them, could mean that they're able to give their employees raises or greater benefits. And so I just think that small movement of the needle can continually be magnified over time. And ultimately with marketing, digital marketing specifically, I don't think that it has to be very expensive, very difficult or time consuming. And that's really what's fun and enlightening for them to see is it just opens their eyes, gets them excited too.
Human nature, right? We have this superpower that we can overcomplicate everything.
And we
can take that down to a personal level. But we talk about, you know, the businesses and social media and advertising and marketing. Crumbs, you must see it all the time where maybe it's a scattered approach or there's no actual direction to it. And be like, guys, this is simple. Here's what we do, right?
Exactly. So I've done a lot of public speaking about marketing, and oftentimes I'll be in a room where there's 100 people and I'll ask a very simple question early on and I'll say, okay, show of hands, how many people or businesses have a strategy? And I'm not kidding. I don't know that I've ever seen more than 10% of the room raise their hand. I mean, sometimes we're talking like last year at an event where there was 220 people and I think 7 people raised their hand. And then of that, I said, okay, just a quick question, because I have to ask, how many of you say you have a strategy, but it's really the one that's in your head? Two people like lowered their hand. I was like, okay, because that's not a strategy if it's in your head, right? Because we all think we have one. And they start to quantify, okay, why are we struggling? Because in life, in business, or even, you know, like a CFO in a company, if you don't have a plan, how do you hold yourself accountable? How do you know what's working, what's not? What do you even measure?
Or if you're just sort of firefighting as you go along, right?
Yeah, yeah, well, exactly. We're kind of throwing things against the wall to see what sticks. And a lot of times what I tell people is, look, a strategy is not even step one. Step one would be audit yourself or audit your social media. So for example, why I say audit yourself is, what bandwidth do you have? You know, because if you literally say, Chris, you know, I've got like 2 hours a week max. And let's just say I believe you, because I don't think we can make more time, but that's a topic for a different day. And I'll say, okay, well, maybe you just need to find time to block on your calendar. So maybe that means sacrificing some other things. And let's make time in the week to do social media or do digital marketing, whatever it is that we need to do for your business. But let's look at then, let's audit your business. How often are you posting? What are your competitors doing? What are the gaps? What are some opportunities and ideas? Let's create a really holistic strategy. Again, doesn't require you hiring an agency, doesn't require a lot of time. Let's just make it as simple as possible, because when things are simple, they're fun. And when you're generating results, it's not only fun, but it's something you want to do. And so to me, it's audit, strategy. Let's simplify things, because the last thing I want or you want is to sit down and be like, oh my God, I have to do social. What do I do? And that's why people stress out, is because they don't know what to do. They don't have a plan. They don't have that North Star. And so to me, it's, let's have one, but simplify it. Because if you, again, you have very limited bandwidth, it shouldn't be a 15-page document. It should be a one, maybe two at tops, and two goals. Not five, because I can't even do five goals. I can really only focus on one or two goals at a time. And as you grow or your team builds, you can expand upon all that stuff. And again, that's the beauty of marketing and business itself.
Nice. Great breakdown. So what are the sort of core beliefs or challenges that you find that your clients come to again and again and again as they reach out to you for assistance?
Yeah, I think one of the big ones is time. So I love to create strategy, as I mentioned, but so often these smaller businesses, they approach marketing as a shared responsibility. So it's not just one person, it's multiple people. And that's when things get diluted, because if one person doesn't own it or a marketing team doesn't own it, people aren't communicating, they kind of get lost. Well, she's supposed to do that and he's supposed to do this. So that's one thing for sure. So I'm very intentional about helping people make time or find time, because we tend to have it. We just don't have our priorities straight. The second one would be strategy, as we already talked about. And the third one to me is getting people to get excited about change. So as you know, as we've gotten older in our business careers, we become just by nature less willing to change and adapt. But in the marketing world, and this is fun but also frustrating, is every day I open up my inbox, I'm seeing reports that Google's changing their algorithm and Twitter updated this and Facebook updated that. I'm like, oh crap. Like, that's a lot to update and keep on top of. And if you're the average business, it's hard. It's also frustrating, because you might have just figured two things out.
And by the way, happened 3 years ago. Throw you out, right? It just changed the whole complexion.
Yeah. And so you're just picking up on things that happened 2 years ago, and you're already a year behind. So what I try to tell my clients is, embrace the change. In fact, don't just embrace it, be an early adapter. Because, you know, if you got on TikTok 3 years ago, you could post a video and 5 million people could have seen it. The algorithm's changing now because there's more people on it. And, you know, now, yes, still great platform, no doubt, but your chance of virality has decreased greatly. So if you get on that gravy train earlier, you have much greater opportunity. And, you know, don't worry. The last thing I would say too is video by far is king. I mean, look at us, we're doing a video podcast right now, and people connect with people. And the only way you can really connect with people within a brand is through video. You know, be vulnerable, talk about your story, just like we're doing now. And I'm really trying to encourage these nonprofits and small businesses who do really have interesting stories to get in front of a video, because that's what people want. They want to watch videos. The platforms want video. So it's not that hard. There's nothing to worry about. I mean, we're all human beings.
Hey, we don't talk perfectly. I'm going to jump in there because what you said is so true. It's about personality. It's about connection. We're all craving connection, especially after the last couple of years. Now in a different way, and we've given all these mediums to use. And this is a fantastic way to be able to communicate about businesses, about strategies, about sharing hints and tips and tricks and hacks. But let's get personal. You're saying it's easy to do this. It's great to do this. However, we were joking offline that you're like, yeah, I hate talking about myself. I've had a hard time actually, being vulnerable at times. And I think as business owners, we do hide behind the business. Mm-hmm. So, I want to hear from, this podcast all about talking about the business owners, the people behind the business. So what is it like for you to be able to, be the face of your business as you come through your vast experience?
Yeah. So I think entrepreneurship is kind of interesting. It definitely has its ups and downs, and there are times it can be lonely because, I look at my wife and a lot of other people I know who are not entrepreneurs. They have this fixed income. They know what they're going to make every week. They know what their paychecks and their benefits are. And as an entrepreneur, what I kind of love is that you have this massive potential where you wake up every day and it's like, I could achieve X, I could achieve Y or Z. And so, if you have that big picture vision, you can zoom out and you can get excited about that, which I do. But on the flip side, you're early on your journey, that can be very nerve-wracking because you're typically taking a pay cut to get started to launch your own business. And I can say, if you don't have a clear vision or a clear strategy, that's typically what keeps people up at night the most. And the other thing that I've really learned too is just to be patient, because as you know, growth doesn't happen. I mean, I really believe that there's no overnight success.
And there is. It just takes 5 to 10 years to get it.
Yeah, I've heard that one too, which I love. So I just try to remind myself all the time that, you have to believe in what you're doing. You have to be strategic, and then you have to be patient. And so I also try to combine this. I've always had this philosophy that you should be a student of the game. So again, I'm in digital marketing. I love to learn. I'm always listening to podcasts. I'm reading books. I've come to the conclusion a long time ago that I don't know that much. And the more I realize that, the thirstier I am to learn more, and the better I get. So I think...
Just to jump in, that's a huge area to be in, because as an entrepreneur, to launch your own business, you need the confidence, you need the swagger of, I know what I'm doing, I can help so many people, this is my area of genius, with also holding space for, and I've still got to learn and grow from other people and make connections and admit that, I want to continue to evolve and move forward, right?
Absolutely. And you have to evolve and you have to grow. And there's going to be things along that you don't want to do or you're not very good at. So for example, I don't really enjoy the paperwork, the banking, the taxes. And so payroll, I find people who are good at that and I outsource that, or I hire a company who can help me with that, because I've learned that you should stay really focused if you can on what you do best. Because if you start to dilute your time, which believe me, I've done, you look at your notebook. Like I have a notebook here with all the things I need to do on it. It just never gets any shorter. And that's when you start to burn yourself out and you feel stressed out. And I think that's why people quit over time.
So did you ever get to a point where you felt, I'm questioning myself here. I'm questioning, did I make the right move? Because making that step for your own agency, your own business, it's quite a big thing to sort of take on. And you talk so eloquently about, having your strategy, knowing your purpose, understanding exactly what to do. But behind that, there's also the human aspect of, where fear, doubt, guilt, all these things live. So did you get to a point or just, considered, is this right? And what happened in that moment?
Yeah. So I would say as an entrepreneur, every year, I think I have this clear vision and it changes a lot. So if you asked me this question 6 or 7 years ago, I'd say, my goal is to have like 7 or 8 small businesses. And, you know, I want to grow and scale those and have a parent company and then sell that off someday. Well, now I look back at that and I say, that's a terrible idea. So, for example, last year I sold one of my businesses, and this year I plan on doing the same, because I really want to focus on one or two things. And I've learned that I can't be everything to everyone. I can't do it all. I certainly can't do it all alone. So I've adapted some new theories in that I would like to have larger businesses I can scale that are more sustainable. I'd like to be able to employ more people and give back to my community. And you certainly can't do that by yourself. I don't care how much of it you're outsourcing. And so I feel like I've had plenty of failures along the way, realizing that, okay, what's important? Like at the end of the year, I do kind of an internal audit of my time and my businesses. And I look back and I'm always thinking, where am I now and where do I want to be when I want to retire? Like, what kind of father do I want to be? Do I want my kids to think of me as being a good dad? And that's where you start to look inside your business and say, you know, where can I make more time and be more effective? And that's when I realized that I do want to leave a legacy. I do want to make an impact. I do want to be a great dad. It's maybe one of the most important things, a great husband too. And so I probably need to get rid of the things that I'm not passionate about. And that may mean selling off a business that I started or divesting. And so that'll be a focus of mine moving into 2023, and do two things and do them really well and make sure that those are businesses that I can scale, because that's what I want. But, and again, that may be totally different for someone else. It depends on what fills your cup, I think.
Yeah. And I think the point you raised there is things change over time. Sometimes things change overnight. Sometimes it's that realization drops and you realize, you know what? Damn it, I don't enjoy this. How did I get to this point? And it's okay to pivot and change your direction at that point. How do you find the difference between a pivot and a change and this is actually fundamentally wrong for me, it needs to move? What's the uncomfortable, fear-based, doubt-based feeling, and what's this is not right? How do you distinguish between those two?
Oh, I don't know if there's a right answer or not, but I go back to some of your core beliefs. So it kind of just depends. So one of my core beliefs is I want to be able to build up businesses that generate six figures. I want to be a great dad. I want to be a good husband. I want to leave a legacy. So those are just things that are important to me. And I look back and I say, is what I'm doing aligning with those goals and objectives? And sometimes you pivot because you have to. So for example, you know, in the marketing world, we have to pivot because the platforms are changing and there's new things like ChatGPT, and you can either choose to evolve with them and be a leader in the market, or you can choose to be left behind. In terms of your business, I think you have to say, does this align with who I am and what I want to be in a year or two from now? And so that's the reminder that I have, because I do want to change. I think that if you change for the better, of course, you're moving forward and progressing. But if you're not changing, then everybody else is passing you up, because it's entrepreneurship, business is a very competitive place. And so I remind myself that I need to change. I should be changing. I should be reading books and exercising and trying to be the best version of myself, because that's where I'm going to look back and say, you know, did I live a prosperous life? Mm-hmm. Did I fill my cup? And so I look at change probably a lot differently and pivoting a lot differently. And I've just tried to be as agile and flexible with my clients, with my business, with my family as possible.
Nice. There was a lot of shoulds within that statement. I should do this. I should do that. Now, I know it's easy for some people to do it all. It's sometimes it's hard. And it's, as again, business owners, entrepreneurs, you focus on one area and realize, holy shit, that's falling down over there. And it's a constant juggling act. With the, you know, recalibration work, with that asking deep questions for yourself, do you find that easy and enjoyable? Or is it tough to work through and try and find out, what do I truly want? Where am I truly going? Where am I, you know, succeeding and potentially sort of failing in different areas of my life?
Yeah, I think when you're an entrepreneur, especially, you don't always see the blind spots. You don't know they're there. And so that may come from feedback from your spouse or a client, even an employee. And that kind of hurts because, you know, we have these big visions. We're often very proud of the work we do and the businesses we own. And so you have to take that, you have to take it all in and absorb it. And again, go back to those questions you ask, because I am very passionate about what I do, and I do want to leave a good legacy. I want to serve my clients to the best of my ability and all those other things I mentioned. And so it's not always easy. And sometimes it takes other people bringing it to your attention, because as an entrepreneur, business owner, we're wearing 10, 15 hats some days. And so staying focused has been a challenge for me specifically. And it's prioritizing time, as I mentioned early on. It's something that I've learned what not to do from myself, from my own failures. And so now I try to teach other people that, and I bring it into my career and helping other people with marketing.
Nice. But with that brings an awful lot of pressure on ourselves, because I said you're wearing so many hats that you want that desire to help people. So how do you manage yourself through that pressure? And you've got a home life and kids and wife to take care of, right?
Yeah. I mean, I may be a little bit different breed in that I enjoy it. I love the journey. I most of the time enjoy the pressure. But I've also learned early in my career, I would come in the morning and I would pick low-hanging fruit, meaning I would just do the easy things. And then I'd leave at the end of the day feeling like, you know, I really only got 25% of the stuff on my list done. And it wasn't a great feeling. And I eventually realized that I had really big ambitions, and I would come in and I would focus on things that would help me get on base, to use a baseball analogy. So not quite hitting home runs, but doing things that are going to move the needle in the direction I'm currently trying to go. And so, as I mentioned, I've become very diligent with my calendar, setting reminders and getting my family life on my personal calendar, blocking time to work on projects that are important to me. And also, you know, I go back to the home life a lot, and my wife and I both have very busy, active jobs. And so it requires a lot of us. And we kind of just have an understanding that, you know, sometimes at night after the kids go to bed, the laptops come out, and you have to get some work done. But I also think that's healthy, on the contrary, because I want my kids to see that, hey, you know, mom and dad work hard to provide, and we want to have a lot of nice things for our kids and our family and a you know, nice house and et cetera. And so I want my kids to see that, hey, you know what? It's not always 9 to 5. Sometimes you got to put in a little extra time. And if you're willing to work hard and have a good work ethic, you know, you can live a prosperous life, however you define that. And so sometimes you have to reverse engineer things as we've done.
Yeah. It's finding the right balance for you. And some people love the word balance. Other people don't believe in it, but it's finding what works for you. I think that's the crux of what you were saying earlier with the marketing, with the strategies, with your clients. Simplify it and find what works for you with yourself and your evolution through your business. Simplify, find out what works for you and your wife and your family life and all the other things, because that is the only thing that you can truly know. And by listening to yourself, by listening to your intuition and what you truly want, rather than block those voices, that's your guiding light.
Yeah. I think you have to, self-talk is really a gift, and listen to what you want to be, and take your mistakes.
Listening to the right self-talk there, right?
Yeah. Take your mistakes. And I think it's okay to sit on them and stew and think about that, because, you know, I mentioned before, early on in my career, I didn't always feel good. I'm like, how do I get better at this? I remember missing meetings or forgetting about things. And I realized that this is so much easier if I were just to prioritize my calendar and prioritize my time, what's important to me. Mm-hmm. And then I realized, well, I wouldn't have to worry about all that so it wasn't about taking it more seriously. It was about, how do I manage my time and prioritize what's important to me?
Nice. Hey, Chris, thank you so much for sharing your journey and insights behind your life, the man behind the business. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. That was a fun conversation.
Hey, you're welcome. Look, if people want to find out more about you and your business, where can they find you?
Yeah, so I'm really active on LinkedIn. That's probably my favorite social media platform as a just kind of an individual and as an entrepreneur. You can find me there. It's Chris B. Burns. Otherwise, I've got my agency website, luxlevelmedia.com. I also have a personal website you can find me on if you're looking for some coaching or just some one-on-one time with me. It's iamchrisburns.com. I do have some other ventures. I've got a leadership podcast, which is hustlenationpodcast.com. But plenty of places and websites to find me, look me up, listen to me. Happy to help anybody and essentially teach you the things I've learned from the wrong way.
Beautiful. Well, everyone, if you want that, check it out. And Chris, thanks again for your time. It's been so much fun.
Likewise. Hope we can do it again sometime.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Hey, Katie.
Yeah, Mark.
Want to do an outro?
I sure do.
Sweet. Hey, thank you so much for listening and making it to the end.
Yay, you.
So what happens next?
We ask them the things that podcasters are supposed to ask at the end of an episode.
Can you please rate, review, download?
Subscribe.
Hmm.
Yeah.
But why is it important?
Because that's how our podcast gets noticed.
It's how people find us.
It is. And we want all their earballs.
All the earballs all over the place.
We do.
Nice.
Yeah. So please do all those things. We'll be ever so grateful.
And then more people hear your beautiful voice.
Or yours.
See you next time.
Bye.